So we believe and we are contending with great joy for a breakthrough in the region that begins with unprecedented humility and starts a chain reaction of action based on obedience to the Lord. And we began, the Lord provoked me when I was flying in here and he said, why couldn't Lancaster County be the first unified county in the United States of America? Why couldn't they be the first county to create unified training, unified soul winning, unified worship and prayer with many denominations, many backgrounds, many different people groups, but a unity movement based in unprecedented humility that breaks the barrier in the United States of America for a massive move of God in this nation like we've never seen before? Could America's greatest days still be ahead of it? And I don't necessarily mean economically, I mean in the spirit. I mean the greatest hour of the Church of America is still ahead of us. The soil is ripe for another move of God. The lost are bored in their lostdom. They're crying out for a Savior, and we have the answer. So we began on Monday night with that, and we began by pounding the floor, such as King Jehoash did, not enough times. We pounded a lot more than him, declaring that we believed that Sunday night was the Lord shooting an arrow of deliverance into Lancaster County that would resound across the nation. And I believe it happened in faith. I just believe. I'm just childlike enough, foolish enough to believe that if Jesus said it, he actually did it, and I believe it happened. Monday night, I don't even have words for Monday night. Monday night, we launched something that will help set the context for tonight as well, called the culture of the kingdom or the culture of revival. And we believe that in the body of Christ all over the world, that we are in a massive culture shift. In other words, we're shifting out of things like unbelief into things like faith. We're shifting away from a culture of criticism into a culture of celebration. We're shifting away from a culture where the power of the tongue is bringing death to a culture where the power of the tongue is bringing life. We're shifting away from a culture of isolation and independence to a culture of radical unity and agreement around Jesus and the gospel message. And then God did something crazy on Monday night. We talked about a culture shift from passivity to the courageous heart of Christ. And I can say I'm not near as experienced, you know, or have had many years in my life as many people in here. But in my life, I have never seen anything like Monday night. I have never experienced a move of God. And I walked off the stage in the fear of the Lord going, I read about Uzzah. We're not touching the glory tonight. You have your way, Jesus. And I walked away, drove away that night going, God, could this be the beginnings of a move of God in Lancaster County? Could something be breaking out? And honestly, on Monday night, what I saw was the unbelievable hunger in Lancaster County meeting the generosity of God. The hunger in Lancaster County is astounding. And God is so generous. And when hunger meets generosity, the Spirit is poured out and the rest is history. And I believe that's what happened on Monday night. We had a culture shift where decades of silence were broken over the land with a shout like I have never heard in my life. We broke out of passivity and the courageous heart of Christ was imparted to those of us who are here on Monday night, but not just those of us who are here, it was intercession for the whole county. So I believe something significant happened. Then last night we had an amazing time, another culture shift, shifting away from the culture of love that has hesitation or has limitation on it to a culture of unconditional love. And this is a moment of honesty because we're in a living room, we're not in a conference, we're in a living room. And it wouldn't be a living room if we weren't totally honest. So I have to be totally honest, is that last night I was so convicted by the Holy Spirit. I did not know how religious I still was. And I didn't realize how many boundaries I still had up around love. And I was blown away by what Jesus did in my heart, and I spent the rest of the night repenting, going, God, I have withheld love. This has been me. I don't know if this has been you, but this has been me. I will read headlines at times. This is what the Lord convicted me of. He says, you get mad at sinners for sinning. And he said, you get mad at the lost for being the lost, and you're expecting them to change their behavior without meeting me. And he goes, if I'd expected that of you, you'd still be lost. And I was humbled. I was broken. I thought of all the times that I have been offended at the lost for being lost. And I've gotten mad at sinners for sinning when that's all they know how to do. We got to know, us as the Circuit Riders, we have a huge standard for holiness and righteousness. We are all about it. Purity is like one of our primary messages. But what I realized last night is that the message of holiness is to the church. It's impossible for the world to be holy. But I have expected the lost to be holy, and when they haven't been holy, I've been offended. And last night, the Lord was stripping away the boundaries to love, going, you've got to love like I did. I wasn't afraid to associate with sinners, to rescue them, to see transformation in their lives, to rescue them from their sin. But I met them where they were, and he said, just like I met you where you were, Andy. Oh, it was one of these. And man, I was talking to a lot of my friends, same deal, as the Lord was breaking us of our limitations on love. I thought about my children and all the times I've withheld love from them because of their behavior. I thought, man, if Jesus withheld love from me because of my behavior, I'd be a dead man. In his love, he pulls me out of my behavior. And when the church gets baptized in confident love, there's no hellhole on the earth we wouldn't run to rescue the lost. And our love would rip them out of their lifestyles that are bringing death, that are bringing tragedy, that are bringing brokenness. And it would be our courageous love that would rescue a lost world. And that's what I believe happened last night. I think that God was shifting us from a culture of withholding the edges of love to a culture of courageous, extravagant love that wants to rescue the lost person without expecting them to change their lives before they've met the only one that can change their lives. It was significant for us. I was still processing it all day, but I believe it was powerful. I actually want to ask real quick my good friend Jason Hershey to come up here. Jason's a hometown hero in my mind. Jason and I have been good friends for a long time, and Jason grew up right here in Lancaster County. He's like a real Lancaster Countyan. I'm like a wannabe Lancaster Countyan. You know, I wanted to be in Lancaster County, and so much I married one and kind of grafted myself in. But my brother-in-law is Corey Martin, the one that was leading worship. Man, I am so privileged to be in his family. So privileged. Corey's one of the greatest men that I know on the planet. And his wife is the only, his wife too, but his sister, my wife, is the only greater one I know on the planet. But Jason Hershey is an incredible man of God, good friend, grew up right down the road. And just want to share real briefly similar thing that the Lord was speaking to him last night.
Yeah, you know, it started this weekend. I actually came up from, I live in Washington, D.C. now. And I came up early so I could go to my local Mennonite church that I grew up in, Hershey's Mennonite Church in Kinzers, Pennsylvania. And I'm sitting there on Sunday morning, and our pastor preaches a message out of Matthew chapter 9. When Jesus goes, he calls Matthew, come follow me. And then he goes and has dinner with Matthew and all of his sinner friends. And the Pharisees are shocked at like what. And so our pastor at church on Sunday morning, he basically was calling us to erase the boundary of our social circle and allow ourselves. He said at one point he was sharing his own testimony. He said he was in ministry for 11 years. And he said in those 11 years, he probably could have counted on his one hand how many nights he had actually spent with the lost. And as he was sharing his testimony on Sunday morning, I'm feeling so convicted because I've been in missions for like 14 years, you know? And how many nights have I set aside specifically solely for spending time with the lost, right? So he had a time where he invited us forward to anoint us with oil and to pray fresh mercy and grace for us, but then also that we would have fresh mercy and grace for others. And so I was like the first one to run to the front, right? I'm like, come on. I looked at Kimberly, my wife, in the pew there at our Mennonite church. I said, come on, I want this one, you know? And I ran to the front like, I want this anointing to have my heart expanded, that I would receive fresh mercy and grace for myself and fresh mercy and grace for others so that I can erase the boundaries of my social circles, right? And so I'm leaving here like, do I need to like just write in my schedule like bar night or something? I don't know, because unless you like carve out time in your schedule and make time, it's not going to happen, right? So I'm thinking like, how do I practically walk out of here? And so I'm a cost counter. Last night I left here thinking, man, I have to count the cost of love. I know love is expensive, you know? And love sometimes, because with love, you got to have long suffering, because sometimes the reaction to your love isn't exactly what you expect as fast as you hope it would, right? And so, but guess what, you guys? Every time I count the cost, adding machine at the end of the day, I come away, I'm like, man, it's worth it. It's so worth it, right? To go to a birthday party with, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I think the Lord's been warming my heart up to this very slowly. We got an invitation, Kimberly and I did, from our neighbors in Washington, D.C., our unsaved neighbors from across the street, to a birthday party for all of their friends and family. And I had to make and the birthday party was on a Sunday afternoon, and I had to make the decision whether I go to the birthday party of my unsaved neighbor or whether I go to church. And so I was worshiping on Saturday afternoon the day before, and I was just on the piano, and the birthday invitation was sitting there right in front of me. I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, Jason, I invited you to a birthday party. Come on. Come on, right? So I believe the invitations are all around us. I believe that God is speaking to us. Like, sometimes you just know when God is speaking to you, he speaks to you many different ways, and he won't let you go, right? So he's been coming after my heart in this area, so I know I'm going to have to respond. And I'm just saying, but I expect Jesus to give me opportunities to do so, and invitations just like.
Yes. Hey, stay up here for a moment. This is so good. And, you know, there's fear in our hearts that creeps up. Last thing I'll say on this, when we confuse love and tolerance. See, Jesus loved people in the midst of their brokenness, and he pulled them out of their brokenness. He rescued them. Imagine when the world sees a church that is willing to rescue people out of their brokenness. Imagine when the world sees a church that is so filled with the love of Jesus, we would go anywhere and do anything to rescue one lost sinner from a lifestyle that is bringing death. All this, you know, different things that are arising even in our nation can cause us fear that we're going to go off the deep end on one side. None of this deals with the eternal ramifications of whether someone chooses Jesus or not. We're talking about love in this lifetime. We're talking about seeking and saving the lost like Jesus did. We know there are eternal ramifications for whether someone chooses Jesus or not. We're saying, let's seek and save the lost like Jesus did. Everywhere he went, he had eyes to see who are the broken in the world that need to meet me, that need to know my love. And then he rescued, and he rescued, and he rescued. And then he sent every one of us, said, now you guys, go and do the same thing. Break the chains, set the captive free, heal the blind, raise the dead, rescue the captive everywhere you go. So it becomes our great privilege to enter into a love revolution, which is a culture shift out of withholding love or living in fear, living in intimidation, and beginning to boldly, courageously go after Jesus' lost sheep. He's longing for them. He's longing for them. Are you in? Are you in for a love revolution based on the truth of the Word of God, the nature and the character of Jesus? It's a culture shift. So pray with us. Lord, we're in a living room right now, and Father, personally, I want to repent because I have religious edges in my life. And Lord, I'm not going to beat myself up. No shame, no condemnation. Those are old deals, Lord. Instead, Father, good, honest, clean repentance. I want to love like you loved. I don't want my children growing up going, my dad sort of loved me. Lord, I don't want my wife in my marriage saying my husband sort of loves me, and I don't want my lost neighbors going, I don't even know who that guy is or what he is or what he does, but he won't even say hi to me. Father, we want to be lavish lovers in this place. God, we want to be lavish, extravagant lovers that are rescuing the lost day and night, compelled by the same love that compelled the Son of God to become a man and rescue every one of us in this room. Lord, let us return the favor. Let us become rescuers like you rescue. And we declare over our lives and over Lancaster County a culture shift in the name of Jesus, that no lost person is safe from the love of Jesus. That no lost person is safe from the love of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Okay, I want to just lead us in a declaration, and this is what it will be. I declare that I'm erasing the boundaries of my social circles. Can we do that one? Okay. Just repeat after me. I declare that I'm erasing the boundaries of my social circles. I declare that I'm erasing the boundaries of my social circles. And I do this for Jesus' name and glory. And I do this for Jesus' name and glory. Amen.
One more time, everybody. It's the breakthrough, guys. Okay, we're super privileged again tonight to have Brian with us. Now, before he comes up, I just want to give a little better introduction. Brian was a pastor for many years in Tacoma, Washington. God released an incredible move of his spirit based on repentance. It was powerful. Hundreds and hundreds of young people began to get saved at a local university, started a youth movement around the power of repentance and a lot of these culture shift messages. Out of that, he became very influential into Youth with a Mission and to all over the world. He and his family and those that came out of this church in Tacoma began to become more involved for a season and lived in Kona, Hawaii, where the University of Nations YWAM is based. And then more recently, we together birthed the Circuit Rider out of this, all these synergy, all these words of the Lord, too much to go into the history of. But a lot of us, raise your hand if you're a daytime, full-time student, the 500 so that are daytime students. There's about 500 of us gathering every morning and afternoon. We found out about yesterday, but since we started, about 150 salvations on the streets of Lancaster, since these guys have been trained and going out. No, come on, guys. 150 eternal destinies shifted by the love of Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever living with Jesus. That's a big deal. Those of us that have been in the school have been using some curriculum that Brian wrote, Salvation Counter, Big Ten, a number of these curriculum pieces that we're using. So the Lord has been using Brian and his family as catalytic leaders in Youth with a Mission, in many local churches, and then in birthing the Circuit Rider. And so tonight, we're about to have another culture shift in our midst. Are you ready for that? Do you have another one of these in you? Do you have another one in you tonight? I know you do. Brian, would you come share with us? Why don't you guys welcome Brian with a Lancaster County welcome. Did I do that?
I think I'll turn that on. It's so amazing to look out here. This is a dream of Jesus, seeing all of you here. Andy Bird, where'd he go? Did he escape? You're going to help tonight. Andy and I are going to work together as a team tonight. How's that sound? Does that sound good? Okay, good. Man, Jason Hershey, thank you so much. What are you? You're just like Superman for Jesus. I'm so convicted. Fortunately, I don't have Facebook yet, so I can't change my social media yet, but I'm going to. Praise the Lord. So these culture shifts are kind of fun. They're really fun. They're just so awesome truths. And what we've learned in along the journey is, remember when repentance years and years ago was like this totally sad moment that you know, only the worst guy in the world would come forward. I remember that growing up in church. Pastor would call out repentance twice a year. There I was with my mom, my dad, totally knew I needed to repent of something, but I didn't know what it was. But then those two guys or two gals or a couple would go forward, and everybody in the church would go like, oh, there's sinners in here. Those workers would come out of nowhere that only worked during that one Sunday to take care of the severe sin that broke out there. And so you'd see these kind of, at least in my church, they'd come out of just the room that was on the side that you never asked what went on in that room. You just felt maybe there were angels in there, I don't know. And they busted out and they just kind of took them back to a special place. And then you're just like, as a kid, you're like, what are they doing, Mom? Shh. God's working. Oh, that's great. Praise the Lord. You don't know what's going on. And so what happened was, like, at least for me as I grew up, and even in my 20s, I thought, it just struck my mind that God would want to bring, and really interrupted my life to say, changing and being changed by the Holy Spirit should be normal. Should be just part of everyday life. And it shouldn't be shocking, and it should be a little bit joyful. In other words, it'd be fun to go, I got totally transformed today. And so, as we started the Circuit Riders, we condensed down these culture shift messages, the culture of faith, replacing unbelief, culture of courage, the courageous heart of Christ, just getting rid of fear of man. You guys following this? So faith, courage. The culture of the surrendered heart, just totally yes to Jesus, no rights, I'm following Jesus. Then one of the next ones was the culture of the unoffendable heart, replacing any offense. And that one everyone seems to really like but me. And so Andy, there you are. Wow, that's like an elder chair or something. You make a great elder. Get these pastors up here to take care of you, make you an elder tonight. But before we do that, we won't. But let's not make him an elder yet. He's too young. But just encouraging him. But Andy really likes this unoffendable heart message. And so he's been telling me all day we need to do it tonight. So here we go. Are you ready to do it? So we're going to have some fun together, and we're going to bounce it off each other. But in the book, basically this all started with this moment. My wife, she has this dream. I'm just going to tell you the living room version. How many husbands know when your wife has a dream, it's not always the best news? Can I get a witness? Yeah. You know a guy is like, oh, yeah, tell me the dream. You know you're about ready to get rocked, convicted, something terrible. She comes down the stairs. I had a dream. Oh, honey, what is it? Let me write it down. She said, I was on this street, and these men were there, and they just made fun of me, and they kept calling me old and stupid, and I'm just listening to the dream like, what a terrible dream, and called me an idiot, and I just kept blessing them and loving them. And right there, I knew, like, well, that's really different than how I'd be in the dream. So I'm already going through the, like, conviction phase of writing the dream down. Do you know what I'm saying, guys, in the room? They're like, are you just making up a dream to describe how I live wrong? Did you have a dream? Is this fake? Is this about our marriage? So all this stress is happening to me, not to her. And she goes, and they kept going on. And they kept saying, you look so old and all this stuff. Look at your weight. And I'm like, oh, man, this is intense, Christy. She goes, and all of a sudden, they got really mad and frustrated. And they go, we couldn't crack you. We couldn't break you. And all these television cameras were seen. And the game was called, I was on a game show called Insult. And I won the game. And no one had ever won before me. And they were so mad, they had to give me the prize. And so, you know, of course, that's Jesus in the New Testament, forgiving them even when they're nailing them to the cross. Father, forgive them, they know not what they're doing. But I remember as my wife described that, I had this thought. I wonder if we're going to have to learn how to be, like, unoffendable. Because most dreams, you guys know it, right? The husbands in the room, single guys, you know. When you get a dream, usually it kind of predicts the future, not the past. Right? You don't normally get dreams like about like grade school. I had a dream and God was speaking to me about grade school. That was 30 years ago. I mean, usually it's about the future. And so I want to practice tonight. We're going to do some practice judo moves of how to live totally unoffendable as followers of Jesus Christ with totally tender hearts, no matter the insult that comes our way. How many of you have been insulted in the last year? Raise your hand. Okay, we have got, Andy, you were right. This was a good message. Why did I question you? I don't know what it is. Every time. I was ready to close in prayer after Hershey. It was getting serious. Okay. Let's start with a verse, because it's always important to have a verse. We're talking about this stuff, okay? So our time on the clock right now is Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So there's our verse. So many verses we're going to mention in a minute. But say this with me. Be kind. Tenderhearted. And forgiving. And then, of course, Paul writes, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So kind of the little shot there at the end, like, in case you're not totally getting this, Brian, just like Jesus forgave you. So that's a motivator. How many of you have ever been motivated by Jesus? Yes. Okay, Jesus. So we're really talking about the unoffendable heart like Jesus lived. How was he able to go through all those things, never get ticked, never insult? It just is amazing. So that's our study tonight. And so basically, here's our start. Number one, he's still in a good mood. You're not offended, are you? Totally. It's Andy's idea, guys. It really is. I don't want to talk about this. I was going to talk about this. The joy of the Lord is our strength, okay? That was where I... No. But we need to know, like, every believer needs to have, like, this needs to be so normal to know when you're offended. So everyone needs to have, like, a dash light on their spiritual car that flashes like an oil light. You're offended. And we need to have that offended light so we know before it gets too wild that we have been offended by something, that something's happened. So I'm going to give you some key indicators on my dashboard. Maybe these will help you to go, oh my word, I've got to, like, forgive some stuff. And we want to make forgiving stuff, as circuit riders, the most normal thing in the world. To just, in the course of a day or in the course of a week, go, I'm going to forgive that. I'm not going to get offended. I'm going to keep going. That's like the culture shift. So instead of letting anything get underneath our armor, we're going to just forgive it and be blessers versus getting offended and then reacting to it. How many of you have ever known what it's like to be tested by God in this area? Has anyone ever had to work with someone that whole job is to offend you? Thanks, God. That's a great hire. They're just here to test my Christianity. Perfect. Love you, Lord. How many of you have ever had a college roommate? Don't raise your hand. You're stuck in a little room. Everything they do, from brushing their teeth to combing their hair to all these crazy, just snoring and phone calls. And how many of you have been around the loud talker that just... Hi. Just, can you ever just say, can you calm? And it's just like, oh, why does that person with bad breath just find me so quickly? And they have the bad breaths always have the longest stories. And then you're like, I don't even care that you were healed of 9 diseases. Stop talking. Because gingivitis hasn't been healed yet. And God has a way. It's happened to you. He has a way. It's almost like part of, like, if Christianity was a sport, part of what Coach Jesus likes to do is put guys in the game to test you. He's up there like, oh, this is going to be great. Look at Brian. He's going to blow off steam. Watch. 4 bad breaths on aisle 9. You know, whatever. Just And so it needs, why I'm saying all this is it needs to be normal that we can get offended instead of it being a big deal. Are we all good with that? So no one should feel condemnation about it or like feel bad because stuff happens all the time. We need to be all pro. So here's an indicator light is. The first indicator for me is, well, has anyone here ever had a fake conversation in their head about someone that's not with you? I didn't want to say it. My most famous story is the shower with the unknown person and my kids listening in. Dad, is somebody in there with you? Because mom's out here. Dad. You come out, you know, and they don't you don't realize they heard the whole thing. You know, you're in there like, and you know what? You're not going to get away with that anymore. I'm putting my foot down. You need to change. I'm sick and tired of this. And the kids are like, Dad, are you praying? No, I'm just offended, taking a shower. Shut up. Be a kid. Go outside. Stop it. I'm an adult. And that's a warning light. It's kind of the lecture you always want to give, but you only give in your own head. If only I had a chance to tell them this. Pastor Bob, worship, that lady, that organ, what were you thinking? But that's what happens. So number one is, if I know that I've been offended, that starts to happen. Number two is, I find myself just kind of not like being like Mr. Blessing Fountain. I'm not swearing. I'm not cursing. I'm not like going, I hope people die. I mean, we're Christians. I mean, rarely does that come out of a Christian's mouth. I would hope. If it happened to you, okay, be forgiven. But in general, you kind of start withholding as a general rule, you know? You're kind of you're like, I don't know, as guys, let me just talk to the guys. You come more of like a grunting communication form. What's up, man? Can you use words? Can just any words? Just like bro or dude? We're good, man. No, we're not good. You're offended at something. You look like you're going to kill me. And we don't need Clint Eastwood movies to get relaunched right now in my living room with you. What are you mad about? And so even as guys, raise your hand if you're a guy and you know what that's like. We want to become all pro guys in this room at forgiving stuff so we don't shut down. Because as men, we want to be the blessing fountains. Calling people into their destiny, calling people into encouragement, calling people. And that's one of our primary callings. As women in the room, you know that when a woman rises up and says those words of encouragement and blessing, it shifts entire neighborhoods, it shifts entire universities, it shifts high schools. The power of encouragement out of a believer's mouth rocks people. Is that not true? So maybe the third and final way I want to just say is, so one, the blessing meter starts to kind of go low. It's usually, this is a good clue, it's like when you get home after ministry or work or whatever, it's really what you're talking about in the private place with your family or your closest friends. That oftentimes is like a barometer of, is there some buried frustration? What am I talking about? Is there an offense? So we engage this rule of the Brent House is that every conversation could be taped. It started like 4 years ago. We decided like, what if someone was taping us right now? Like, well, that'd be weird, number one. But two, I don't know that I would have said it exactly like I just said that. And so what we did is we've been just going to like, well, why don't we just be totally unoffended so that no matter who taped us, no matter where we were, we'd always be like saying the same blessings about everything and totally be stoked and filled with love. Is that Andy's deal? Like, what was the thing he was doing? What were you doing? That's... Andy's going to come up here and lead us in a minute. Okay. So everybody's in a good mood, right? No one's offended. Satan is not very nice. We all agree on that, right? Amen. That's right. But Satan's deal is this, is he loves to get believers mad. He enjoys it. He's like, he's got his little demon lair, you know, they're sitting around the little black table. Wearing little capes and stuff, and we could be in heaven totally having fun right now. Why are we down here again following you? Hey, shut up, guys. This is a good idea. And so their whole thing is like, let's get the believers mad. Their game plan is so little, isn't it? I mean, don't you think the playbook is like one page? Here's our playbook. These are the 5 top temptations, and let's get believers offended. So they stop pouring out love and blessing on each other, and let's make repentance like this morbid self-introspection thing that is so miserable that no one would ever want to do it unless you're totally miserable. And we're just calling his bluff because it's so weird. It's ridiculous. Believers are the happiest people on earth because they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's that simple. We are so loved. You and I are so loved. You know it. I don't feel loved. Well, sometimes I don't feel loved either. That's why there's faith. Not every day is a bear hug from Jesus in the physical. Some days you don't feel the bear hug, but you believe the bear hug. Are we all there? We are the most loved people imaginable because it's... I remember one time I got kind of in my early immature years, which basically are still going on. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Isn't it frustrating to get old and go, I'm still as immature as I was a long time ago. I thought by now I'd be wise. All the older guys before me said they were wise. They tricked me. I feel dumber now than ever. My kids know how to do everything. I don't even know how to turn on the gadgets. Anyway, that's a separate whole issue. Thank God we're saved by Jesus. Isn't it true? In other words, when you get older, you're smarter because you realize how much Jesus actually does everything. When you're younger, you're not quite as... You just don't have the reps. But when you get older, you're like, oh, yeah. Touchdown, Jesus, like 18 times today. I didn't do a thing. You're able to understand that more. But as we operate in the unoffendable heart, we've got to be ready. You and I have got to be totally ready for insults to come our way and rejection to come our way. And it's got to be like a garden snake, those little teeny black snakes that are harmless, just like, woo, not going to be offended today. I'm going to live in total radical love. I'm going to bless my boss. I'm going to bless my coworkers. I'm going to bless my other buddies. I will not let offense build in my heart. So it sounds like we're all in. We should just close in prayer. Where's Andy? Are you about ready? All right. You're forcing it out of me. One of the keys sometimes for me when I move in, if offense tries to bite and to hold me down, is isolation. And when you get alone, a lot of bad things start to happen to you because the enemy can just start picking on you and hitting you with accusations and horrible stuff. I'm not talking about the loneliness, the being alone with the Lord. I'm talking about isolating yourself from others because distrust has entered in. And I think part of the culture of the unoffendable heart is trust your buddies. They're imperfect. They're going to die imperfect. But this is our crew. Let's roll with them. And basically, the church in America is our crew. As imperfect as the bride of Jesus Christ is, that's our team. You feel it? And as the bride is so beautiful, wouldn't it be just fun to see the bride in America from Jesus' eyes? How do you do that, Jesus? You totally see it differently. But the bride is this beautiful team that Jesus is assembling. And this unity piece that we're talking about tonight, this unoffendable heart, is going to precede that unity breakout that's going to spread across America. Because we're going to go, look, we agree on the gospel. We agree on these basic things. Let's just go for it. And it's going to be the main thing is going to be the main thing. As I really believe millions of Americans are going to come to Christ and what God is going to do. So we don't want to be offended. All right? Can I give you a few more? All right. Do you avoid anyone? Now, I was told that you need to forgive people. That doesn't mean you have to go to the movies with them. And I thought about that. I'm glad Jesus goes to the movies with me when he forgives me. So when I go and little Joshua, my 11-year-old, drags me to the latest whatever, you know, Panda Kung Fu Master, it's just Jesus is, he's like, you know, Brian, you really haven't been that nice the last 2 hours. I can't go with you. And the forgiveness in Christ is we're forgiving people and we're not avoiding them. We're reaching out and blessing them. Are we ready for that? The body of Christ? Yes, we are. Okay. Nobody's avoided. Isn't it funny how you can avoid someone? And the Lord just loves it when we draw together. That's one of the most powerful things about communion, isn't it? When the church family you're part of, everybody just unifies and just goes for it and just remembers what Jesus has done and celebrates it. It's so powerful. As many times as you do that, it just unifies the crew. So what we're saying tonight is, are we ready to say no to offense and yes to forgiveness and leave this room completely offense-proof, win the game show, get the prize and say, okay, as I go from this place as a new ordained circuit rider, because you're at Circuit Riders, I will leave unoffended completely. I feel it. Okay, I'm going to make a private confession. I think last night some of the things I was saying was because what Andy said earlier is like, I kind of got offended with sin. In unsaved people. I know it didn't happen to you, but it happened to me. I was like, what the heck are those dudes doing? And Jesus is saying to me again, Brian, he's saying, Brian, I love those guys. Get over there and tell them about me. And so, like Andy said, is one of the last offenses I think God's been dealing with the Brent family is, why are you offended with the world? I came to save the world. That's why you're down there, Brian, to seek and save the lost. Don't be Mr. Grumpy Pants about the whole deal. And I think I just got set free last night. I mean, I went to bed a different person because I'm like, okay, well, sinners sin. Why am I so shocked? So we're just embracing that crazy love revolution of no offense towards other believers, no offense towards the world, and living completely like Jesus did, bringing the truth. The gospel is the truth. Salvation is the truth. Relationship with Jesus is the truth. So, final verse. I love Psalms 103:3. It says, He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. I've got so many in Salvation Encounter scriptures I love reading. I love Mark 11:25-26. It says, When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So we're forgiveness masters as Christians. We're the known strange people on earth that actually forgive you. Isn't it fun to be forgiven when you screwed up by your friends? It's so exciting that you and I get to live as the forgiveness masters. Look at Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Ephesians 2:4-5. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much, even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Jesus from the dead. It's only by God's special favor that you've been saved. And then there was our starting verse that we end with. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Andy, come interpret this message now. Andy and I work together as a team, and we really do. It's fun. And a lot of times, Andy, as I listen to Andy, sometimes I'll say things that I heard him say, then I'll emphasize it. I think, and then sometimes when Andy listens to me, he hears things I'm saying, and then he brings it home. He really has the mind of an architect. It's amazing working with Andy. He's so sharp in his thought process, and it completely brings, like, concepts into such practical, like, I get it. And so, Andy, here you can see everyone is so teachable. Everyone is so humble. Everyone is so ready. Everyone is so ready to be unoffended. Take us home.
Okay. So we're going to share a few things that be ready to pray us into glory tonight. You think of the three things we're going to pray through. So as Brian's sharing, can you guys hear me?
Can you hear me? Is that better? Okay, as Brian's sharing about this unoffendable heart, really what we're saying tonight is that in Lancaster County, we are ending the famine of withheld love. Right, we're ending the famine of generous love is what I should say. That there's been a famine in our land, in the nation, not just Lancaster County, in America, in the nations, there's been a famine of generous love is what he's saying. And if we get, you know, super gut level honest, we can trace almost every issue in our nation back to a father issue. And as a father, I fear the Lord on that four little dudes, you know, that are looking at me for better or worse. They're going to do everything I do for better or worse, right? And so many of us have grown up under the cloud of withheld love. And what we're declaring tonight is that we are ending the famine of generous love. And there's been a drought in the land of generous love, even among believers, from fathers to sons, and mothers to daughters, vice versa, from generation to generation, from denomination to denomination, from sibling to sibling. There's been a famine of generous love. And what we're saying together, even as we're laughing at some of our offenses that we take, is that we want to end that. And when we really think about it, it's super true. Think about any one category. Think about how rare it is for musicians to compliment each other. Like, really compliment each other. Hey, I wrote a song. That's super neato. Well, do you want to hear it? Well, I'm sure it's super good. Yeah, I mean, play it right now. Baring their heart, busting out their song. That was neato. Man, I just neato. Wow. Keep practicing. Think about how rare it is for true affirmation and true compliments. Now think about it. Come on, total moment of honesty. Remember, we got to be raw if we're going to get breakthrough. Remember, dudes, when you first saw the lady? You remember? And you changed everything about your personality to win her heart. I hated chocolate before I met my wife. I loved dogs before I hated my wife. Before I met my wife. Please take that off the tape. She's not here tonight. We bless you, Holly. I used to love dogs. Then I met my wife. When I met my wife, I loved chocolate and I hated dogs. I changed everything about my personality. Extravagantly. Man, I did crazy stuff all the time, right? All the time. Why? Lavishly giving love all the time. And then if you're like under Holy Spirit lie detector tests, like if you got hooked up to the system and it like electrocuted us, men, husbands, it electrocuted us if we lied. Hey, when's the last time you extravagantly pursued your wife's heart? And we'd all be like, psh, last week. Well, certainly in the last year. The question was, when's the last time you sought her out the way you sought her out when you first met her? I do it all the time, man. Our last anniversary was the best one yet. Under Holy Spirit lie detector test, are we still extravagantly giving, generously giving love to our spouses, or have little things piled up along the way, offenses, little statements, little moments, that over time we begin to withdraw love, and the next thing we know, we're kind of like more like co-laborers or business partners than we really were when we first locked eyes and went, I would cross any ocean, I would climb any mountain, I'd take the six-fingered man down with my eyes closed. Inigo Montoya got nothing on me, I'm coming for you. We'd do anything in that moment, any mountain, did not matter. And over time, those little offenses can pile up and we stop being Wesley pursuing Buttercup. And God wants to put a little zip back in the Wesleys in the room. As you wish. Where the men, we as men, we become extravagant lovers again. Generous lovers again. Pursuant lovers again. And then, man, you think about the wildness of raising children, right? I know we're on families here for a moment. But my goodness, you know that. Remember the first day my little dude was born, my oldest, he's like nine, turning nine here soon. And when Asher was born, man, no one could prepare you for that moment. And I had every emotion in the human emotion flood my body at one time, except for like the real bad ones. I mean, all the good ones, like I don't know whether to cry, laugh, jump, dance, curl up in the fetal position, sob. Like, so as a man, I didn't do anything. They all hit me at the same time and I got stuck. I had emotional constipation. Just bam. Nothing. I seized up. It was like I had no oil in my cylinders all of a sudden. And everyone's like, aren't you excited? And I knew if I tried to talk, I would have fallen on the floor. I was so undone by this beautiful little dude. And I look down and go, he's me. He's even got red hair. He's just like me. He's wild. Oh, it's my boy. He's bone of my bone. He came from in here and in there. And together we made one. Oh, my goodness. And then, man, it wasn't 3 weeks later that I was like, I have sympathy on child abusers all of a sudden. I'm about to build a soundproof room in my house and a little food slot. How did I go from, like, the greatest emotion in my life to being offended at a three-week-old for doing all it knew how to do when it was hungry? Scream at the top of its lungs. And I don't know, my wife and I, we just don't make calm children. We're going to have to adopt one, we decide, if we want a calm one. My children hate sleeping. They hate sleeping. They hate being held. They hate sleeping. But they're wild and they're joyful. And man, I just couldn't believe how quickly I could become offended at something I was so in love with, this child. You think about over time how that kind of a heart, then we begin to withdraw love from our children. I have to look at my little guy all the time and go, does he know he has my full endorsement? Or is my endorsement based on his behavior? Does his dad love him when he scores more soccer goals? Does his dad love him when he gets good grades? Does dad love him when he gets a great behavior report? Or is his dad an extravagant lover in his brokenness, in his victories, in his weak points, in his greatest failures, and in his greatest days? Am I the father to my son? And to think about all the ways that offense can pile up in our lives and it can begin to withhold. And then next thing you know, you look at the land and you go, my goodness, we need rain so bad. There's a famine of love in the land. And tonight we're breaking the famine. No, we got to get serious about this. We're laughing at it. We should. It's joyful, but it's serious because our children don't have to grow up like we grew up. Come on. Our children don't have to grow up like maybe with some of the things we look back on and go, I would have changed that. Well, then let's change it. Let's not reproduce the things that we look back on and when it only hindered. What if our children didn't have to overcome as much as we overcame? What if your marriages didn't have to overcome as much as the past generation had to overcome? What? Imagine if we were so free in our hearts in dealing with offense that you came into marriage free of offense rather than exchanging backpacks of offense, and now you've got double dosage offense coming into marriage to work through. You need 1,000 hours of counseling just to deal with your offenses you carried into marriage, not to mention the ones that are going to come through marriage. Imagine if a young generation of singles went, I am going to get ruthless with my heart. I am refusing to pile up bitterness, unforgiveness, offense. I am going to enter into marriage with a heart of joy, a heart of love. Look out, Ruth. Boaz is on the way. And a generation of Boazes arose, even in their singleness, that said, my wife does not ever have to hear me scream at her. My wife never has to hear me raise my voice at her. And if I do, then welcome to your repentant husband. Oh, could we not turn the tide in a nation? Could we not turn the tide in families? Could we not see a generation rise up on the earth that would be the most wild, free, loving, liberated generation the world has ever seen? And it's on our watch, guys. So in this offended heart thing, here's the last thing I'll say, and then Brian, you come lead us in prayer. You got it? Okay. The last thing I'll say is that we're always waiting for someone else to lead the way. No, it's a human condition. We're always waiting, right? Man, somebody lead the way into that level of generous love, and then we'll all follow behind. Don't you know that God's eyes and his heart, his face, he's roaming the earth going, will someone start a revolution of generous love? And we hear that, we disqualify ourselves, and we go, yeah, someone should start that. That's a great idea. I'm going to Facebook that. Someone's going to get inspired, and they're going to start it. Don't you think that maybe the Lord's looking down on Lancaster County, a living room gathering, like the days of TBS? When he looked down and went, man, there's few people on the earth as hungry as this young generation. Don't you think he's looking down at us tonight going, it could start here. It could start now. We could end the famine in the land in Lancaster. And if Lancaster ended the famine on the land, then maybe other counties would look on and go, someone started it. And we're jumping in. So could Lancaster County, as we talked about, I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, Monday, I think, be a Jonathan and an armor bearer when the rest of the world might be in their holes in fear waiting for someone to lead the way? Could Lancaster and County be a Jonathan to a generous love, quick forgiveness, quick repentance, restored marriages, decades of offense forgiven in a millisecond? To the degree we believe the gospel is the degree we'll walk in freedom. I want to tell you tonight, you don't need 1,000 hours of counseling to get free. You need an encounter with Jesus. You don't need 1,000 hours of counseling to figure it all out. We need a tenderized heart by the tender heart of Jesus. And we will find a grace to love those we've been angry at for years and years and years. And when the world sees a reconciled church, they will come running. Come on. When the world sees a reconciled church, a loving church, they will come running because the world's longing for love. And it's in us. It's inside of us. So let's end the delay and the waiting for someone else to rise up with something crazy, something radical, the wildest sentences we've ever spoken, the wildest forgiveness we've ever given. Even as we're speaking, I know right now the Lord's dropping names into our hearts, relationships, and faces, and He's daring us, and you should almost feel a little nervous right now. Pre-game jitters. Because we're about to start playing ball for real. And we're going to win. We're winners. We're winners. We're winners. Are we not? We're winners. We're on the winning team, guys. We're on the winning team. Would maybe the boldest thing we propose tonight be that we walk out of this room with a tender-hearted resolve to walk in the most radical forgiveness we've ever walked in our lives? To put a stake in the ground and go from this day forward, we are tender-hearted lovers. Generous with our love. Breaking the famine in the land. And I tell you, revival's around the corner. Brian, can you come lead us in prayer? Are you guys in for this tonight? Can we do this together? Family moment. It's the giant living room of freedom. Yeah, you guys can stand up. Is that okay? Or do you want... Now let me stand up. This is our living room breakthrough moment.
We're going to affirm a couple, maybe the other mic. Two scriptures first. Can we say these scriptures out loud? Maybe we'll say more than two scriptures. This is, Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, just bring complete clarity in our mind, complete clarity in our mind. We are leaving this room offense-free because you're a miracle worker, and you can do it, Jesus. Say, humble ourselves and say, Jesus, come and heal our hearts of all offense tonight and free us like crazy. And may burdens be lifted off that we could never do in 100 hours of talking about it right now. In Jesus' name. Okay. Let's just say 1 Peter 4:8 out loud as our, just to salt the trail. I will continue to show deep love for others as love covers a multitude of sins. So forgiveness is about canceling debt. Oh, come on. So we're going to cancel debt right now. Like, guys, $1 million of credit card debt. We're just canceling the debt of those who have offended us right now and throwing it all on the cross. So, Holy Spirit, we're just your children. We pray right now, bring every person to mind the most ridiculous offenses, the most hardest things that have happened. We just bring them all in our spirit right now. And we're going to just put this on you. And we're going to say, God, take it from us right now. So say it all together. In the name of Jesus, I cancel the debt. I choose to forgive those who've offended me. Insulted me, rejected me, betrayed me, withheld from me, never recognized me. Their debt is canceled. Father, I forgive them. They knew not what they were doing. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus. Now we're gonna land a blessing right on the ones that hurt or insulted us. So, Lord, now's the time that by your Holy Spirit, give every one of us the exact blessing to bless people with in Jesus' name. So I want you to think about anyone that you want to bless right now, and the crazy, bless them with salvation, bless them with love, bless them with forgiveness, bless them with health, bless them with breakthrough, bless them with encouragement, bless them with radical favor. Just right now, just for 30 seconds, let's let a roar come up in this room of the most crazy blessings being released on churches, on individuals, on family. Just let's erupt a blessing over this county. Let's just start every blessing God's going to just come and just do something with. So let's be radical and just go for it. The most generous, wild-hearted blessings of people that have heard us, we've ever heard, ever said before. Let's go for 30 seconds. Let's go for it. Say it out loud. I bless them with salvation.
I bless them with salvation.
With healing.
With healing.
I bless their health.
I bless their health.
Their future.
Their future.
Their relationships.
Their relationships.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Transform them.
Transform them.
That's right. So good. Our living room. Just the second area that we're going to do, just three. The second one is disappointment sometimes in delayed answers to prayer, or disappointment with the cost that it really has cost you to get this far in Christ, where you're at. And sometimes it can put just a thin barrier between us and God. And I know that Christy and I have really upped our expectation this month as a couple. We said, we're no longer living with just guarded expectation over our future in Jesus. We're not expecting hardship and misery. Even though we've seen a lot of suffering, we're saying, God, we trust you. Go for it. We love you. And something broke in our hearts, and we just felt this new tenderization between our relationship with God and us. So we're releasing all past disappointments and saying, it's time for a new day to begin tonight. Are you with that? Yes, let's pray it out. In Jesus' name,
in Jesus'
name, I surrender past disappointments.
Broken expectations.
Difficult costs.
Even
seemingly delayed prayers that were answered not yet.
I choose to have expectation.
In Jesus Christ.
In Jesus Christ.
Forgive me for all offense, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Unoffendable heart. Thank you, Jesus. The last judo move is we're saying yes to being the unoffendable generation, no matter what our age is in this room. It starts right now. So there's going to come a roar. That means the devil in his little boardroom is going to send Mr. Bad Breath and Mr. Long Talker and Mr. Space, you know, too close guy, and the guy that went on a mission trip and has 10,000 pictures on his phone of a tree that somehow has meaning. And you're going to have to go to people that are going to just basically just wait until the bill comes, and you know they're not going to pay, and you're going to have to pay again. And you're going to have 1,000 of those this year. But we're going to laugh about them this year and say, we're going to finish this year unoffended and start a new year unoffended in the name of Jesus. So we're signing on for every cost, every single thing, and saying we're going to choose forgiveness. We're going to choose forgiveness no matter what comes my way. So there's an eruption. We're saying this. Say it with me. We say yes to cost.
We say yes to cost.
Of the unoffendable heart.
Of the unoffendable heart.
Because you modeled it for us, Jesus. So we're seeing that Jesus is not offended with anyone in this room. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Jesus, you're not offended with me. This is the funnest line that Christians can say, one of the top five. I am forgiven. Try it out. I am forgiven. Yes. I have a tender heart. You do. Go ahead and say it again. I have a tender heart.
I have kindness.
I have mercy.
Compassion.
Because of Christ.
So
Jesus, you've done all this for us. You so radically forgave us. You so radically saved us. You've so radically walked with us that with all of our heart in this room, the only word I can think of that we should shout tonight, after being so radically forgiven, signed up for unoffendable heart, ready for every insult, no matter what comes our way, we're staying unified, we're walking together. Something's going to be modeled in this county that the rest of America can say, we can do it too. And it's going to happen in this room. And so you're the only one responsible. So on three, we're going to just shout the name of Jesus just to let the enemy know and all darkness of offense to be wiped out of this room. We're just going to go for it and celebrate the name of Jesus. Are you ready? Let's go for it as long and as wild as you can. Like 1,000,000 pounds have been lifted off of your back. You're completely bitter free. You're completely anger free. You're completely critical free. You're completely free. Your heart is totally emptied out. You're completely alive. You're completely resurrected. And it's all because of Jesus. Jesus!